You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is a new week. It is game week when it comes to your New Orleans Saints. That's right. They will take on the Cleveland Browns in the preseason opener. We'll get you ready for that as well. One more padded practice for the black and gold before they get into work. Last night, Yulman Stadium. We'll go whack over some of the things that stood out on Saturday and Sunday's practice, including, those that did not participate in practice. And imagine what, just what, could have made head coach Sean Payton end his press conference last night abruptly and early. Just guess what that had to do with. What's up, everybody? It is Monday, August 7th. Can you believe it? The full week of the preseason gets underway. The Hall of Fame ceremony that took place back over the weekend. Fantastic to see Morton Anderson be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and representing the Saints, and also saying some nice, some kind words when it comes to, of course, the city of New Orleans. And we'll hear what Morton had to say, some highlights, I guess, from what he had to say back on Saturday. And again, it's always cool to see a member of the black and gold going into practice yesterday. And more importantly, it was eerie, yet it was kind of cool, right, to see this. Joey, back over the LaRose studios, don't know if you saw any of the induction ceremony or even the highlights, in particular, not even the Saint, but LaDainian Tomlinson. If you saw him yesterday, did you see what was pretty cool in that Drew Brees and his wife were there? And of course, Brees played with LT, and he recognized him and recognized all the former players that were with him and everything. But Joey, it was odd seeing him, you know, walk through there, because we all know he's going into the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And It was kind of cool to see, you know, see him there and just know the next time, more than likely, I mean, he may go, you know, in the near future if another teammate or so make it in there. But it could very well be the next time he waves to the crowd like he did, and he got snapshots of him. He had a short sleeve blue shirt on, but it's just, I don't know, it hit me. I'm like, hey, he is. I mean, that, you know, probably next time he's in Canton, at least for sure during Hall of Fame weekend, might be for his induction, you know? Might be for his induction. And I thought it was kind of cool to look at it that way. Hey, a number of ways to get involved in the show. 800-998-1003. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. And as always, you can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. A number of ways in which you can do so as well. And as we said, a lot of different things to get in into the show here, not just when it comes to the Saints. You just heard on Sports Today, Hannah Griffinott talking about LSU's first scrimmage. We're going to focus a little bit on that here in the coming days here as well, after we catch everybody up on Saints now, which is 2 hours from 1 to 3. I want to focus on the black and gold to get into that. But yeah, they have injuries in their offensive line, and your New Orleans Saints have injuries on the offensive line here as well. You know, it's never good, Joey, when practice starts and, you know, you grab your little roster sheet there, mm-hmm. and you just kind of, on the side, just start jotting down. I just jot down, you know, who's going, who's not, just kind of a reference to me. And I don't know, can you find the MASH song or, you know, any medical song that you want to play in the background?
Oh, sure. Because, hang on.
I mean, I'm sure we just need to keep a Saints folder of just, you know, medical TV show theme songs just at the ready, because, you know, and look, it's sort of the balance. And I guess that's what I'm trying to make the point today. And we'll talk with Marlon Favorite in hour number two at 2:30 about this, right? So it's practice 10, and practice 10 is going into the week of the game, and, you know, you're going to start having some bumps and bruises, Joey. Some bumps and bruises. And just, you know, the body's a little sore. You know, you just might need a day off. The veteran's day off, like Drew Brees had. Things like that. But it's just, I don't know, not good when you look at it and you go, all right, let's just jot down on a sheet of paper here. No Willie Snead, no Ted Ginn, no Delvin Bro, no Marshawn Lattimore, no Corey Fuller, no Trey Hendrickson, and no Ryan Ramczyk. Now, again, what's a Veterans Day off? What's an injury? As you know by now, head coach Sean Payton does not like to address those injuries. Now, Ted Ginn, I'm gonna make an educated guess here, Joey. An educated guess. Judging by the Cobra Kai Karate Kid headband that he fashioned out of a, looks like a Gatorade hand towel. He kind of had the bandana tied. It kind of looked like Johnny from Karate Kid. And he was out there throwing the football. It seemed to me like the Veterans Day off for Ted Ginn yesterday at practice. I'm going to go with that. Now, we did not lay eyes on Delvin Bro and Marshawn Lattimore. And as we said yesterday, it was over at Tulane's Yulman Stadium. So in practices in which they haven't gone, like Bro, which he had kind of gone through some of those walkthroughs. And when I say gone through the walkthroughs, he's walking through the walkthroughs, all right? And he's trying to work his way back from something. And, you know, if it's not the facility, maybe he did his rehabbing during the day, no need to get on the bus just to kind of go out there and watch. I don't know. Now, Teron Armstead, Max Unger, they were there. And as I said last week, if you missed it, the good news about Teron Armstead, again, is that you saw him early in training camp with the left arm in a sling, right? Left arm in a sling. Well, it's been out. You know, he hasn't had it in the sling. He's kind of, you know, throwing the ball to himself. He and Max Unger watching practice. So that leads me, again, I don't know with his type of injury, having surgery in order to repair that. He has to show that he can push a defensive lineman and all that. But again, just good signs that you're seeing them at least out there. So again, with Lattimore, per Nick Underhill, the Advocate, last week saying it was a knee sprain, again, no need to probably get on a Hotard bus like they did and go over to practice if you already do your rehabbing at the facility and stuff, which is probably why, again, not concerned about Bro or Lattimore on doing that. You're seeing Bro work his way back, and Lattimore, you know it's a knee sprain. As soon as it feels better, he'll get back out there. Again, you need to be ready for September 11th. That's how I look at it with those two guys. Now, there's some depth issues. There's not bad depth issues. I do think it's good depth in the cornerback and in that secondary, but I do think when those two guys get back, it absolutely gets better. It just absolutely does. So, hey, I'm fine. I don't see them. I don't see them. Get better. Go rehab. Do what it needs to be. With Willie Snead, you didn't see him do anything. Just he's watching practice, so he's trying to recover something. Again, you can look at it from the stands and go, one leg doesn't have a leg sleeve. The other one does. You know, and it covers part of his leg, upper and bottom, and goes over his knee. So is it soreness? Did he bump it? I don't know. Again, I'm just looking down on the field. One leg has a neoprene sleeve on it. One leg doesn't. So, again, that's how you look at it from that perspective. Now, Ryan Ramczyk left practice early on Saturday, and he was not out there yesterday. Again, not at your facility. You know, I get it. You know, why make the trip? Why bring him up if something's ailing them in doing that? That said, that Ramczyk thing is interesting. And no doubt, everyone at today's practice, which is late afternoon, it's been pushed back a couple times. It was supposed to be in the morning and open, and it was then closed. And then in the afternoon, early afternoon, and it's got pushed back to late afternoon. So you're not going to get many updates until, I would say, dinner time. So if you like to go to your Twitter, whoever it is that you like to follow, or look at your reports, you'll get an indication around dinner time when that takes place. So one of the things that we did see, though, with him is that he left early and then not there yesterday. Now, I'm going to say, judging by the five-minute conversation I had with the Graf yesterday, Joey, he was in almost a sheer, I'm not going to say panic, but it was one of those, great, right, in terms of, because what happened Saturday in Saturday's practice is something I want to throw out there to you here as well, especially for you hoodads out there that are convinced. And Joey, I don't remember if you are or not, but there's a lot of fans that are convinced practicing in the heat, in the humidity, under the relentless sun will toughen you up. Kenny Vaccaro says it, but not only will toughen you up, we'll make you stronger. We'll let you beat those Atlanta Falcons. There's only one problem. If you're not finishing practice, it becomes an issue, right? So when Larry Warford needs to get carted off the field, when A.J. Klein has to end practice as well, and it's all due to cramping, what good is it doing you if you can't finish practice? So that's how I feel about that. You know how I feel about it. Those guys are – they have 8 stations after practice they can go visit to recover, including yoga. Joey, they tried yoga, cold tubs, there's fluids, there's IVs, there's Gatorades right before they walk into the locker room. A nice big old shiny cooler with a note that I'm convinced it's for Jordan the intern, who's tried for what? Watermelons, snowballs. I don't think he's tried for the Gatorades, but there's a sign that says for players only. You can pick whatever flavor you want. There's Gatorades everywhere. So that's my point, though. I mean, That's the negative aspect of having to practice in this heat, in this humidity. You're going to start to cramp. And again, that's my issue with this. When people go, it makes them better. Yeah, well, when you're trying to get through a practice, that's maybe how injuries sometimes happen. You're tired, your legs give out, you try to overcompensate. I don't know how, if at all, any of those injuries are based on that or not. But it's never good when Saturday's practice ends and I'm just texting Todd. Warford's out, Klein's out, and I'm just going through the list. I mean, it was a mass unit, Joey. It was a mass unit. But, hey, it'll toughen you out. Oh, by the way, P.J. Williams, he also wasn't in there as well. So, again, feel free. Throw them all out there in shells yesterday. Quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from a player yesterday who I thought had a good – here's the balance, right? I almost had jury duty. Well, I did today. We didn't get called, which is why you hear me on the show. But, Joey, you know the picture of liberty or justice is what? Blindfolded with scales, right? Scales of justice. Well, it's sort of like how I weigh it. If one player has a good practice, does that conversely mean the opposing player did not have a good practice? I think yesterday, this particular defensive player had a good practice, but I also think the offensive player did not have a good practice. I'll explain when I come back. We're just underway, 800-998-1003. If you went to Yeoman Stadium yesterday, there were 5,000 people that attended. I'd love to hear from you. What did you see? What did you think? I want to chat with you. Also, if you went to Saturday's practice, if you went to any of the open practices, send them our way, 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. Love to get into it. Just underway, you're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So 5,000 people climbing into Yeoman Stadium yesterday to check out the Saints practicing over at Tulane's home campus there. Sean Payton on how that worked out.
Listen, I thought it was great. We did this 2 years ago, I think, when we got back. Allows more people to be at a practice, and it also, allows them to be out of the sun. So with the schedule we had today, there was a lot of meetings, a lot of recovery aspects to the morning. More meetings and a walkthrough, and then I thought overall it was pretty crisp.
Again, the black and gold with a padded practice late this afternoon, early evening, and then they are scheduled to be off tomorrow. Wednesday, they fly out to Cleveland, Joey D, to take on your dreaded Cleveland Browns. Brian Hoyer, I forgot the legend of Lake Erie. See, I can't mention, Joey, a quarterback of legend. I mean, there's Bernie Kosar. I don't know. Did y'all have any other legendary quarterbacks? That's about it, right? I mean, Bernie Kosar. Is that pretty much all you got?
That's it.
Yeah. That's a shame. Brock Osweiler has been named the starter for Thursday's game. He's
all right.
He's hungry to face the Saints defense.
Yeah.
Just remember,
Brian Hoyer became the legend of Lake Erie. Last time the Saints played the Browns in a regular season game in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Unstoppable, Joey. He was unstoppable. He looked Joe Montana against that Saints defense. As they went on to go 7-9.
Callahan can go good with them.
Well, let me tell you something. Callahan against that Saints defense that season might have at least thrown for 100 yards. Maybe would have thrown for 3 or 4. All right, so I mentioned in segment one, I'm not going concern, but it's worth asking. So Josh Kazakstein, TimesPickYNOLA.com, drew the shorter straw. Yes, coach yesterday, the latest on Ramchek.
Nothing right now specifically. You know, we'll get him back out there as soon as we can. So no injury news. Anything else? Anything else? All right, thanks.
So you want to talk about it, and you hear Josh saying, well, how concerning is it? Look, I understand it's the song and dance. It's the song and dance, right? Josh and all of us, we have to ask it. He asked it. We're all thinking it. And Sean can choose how to answer it or not to answer it. But he has to be asked. I mean, it is, you know, a valid question, what Josh asked there. How concerning is it? You're already down Teron Armstead. And back to my point in the tease that I said going into the break. Yesterday at practice, Alex Okafor continues to have some nice practices at camp. Yesterday, he looked like Lawrence Taylor. Again, I'm not saying, Joey, that he will be Lawrence Taylor, right? That's not what I'm saying. But he looked like Lawrence Taylor yesterday at practice. As I open my notes here, I mean, I got him at least at 2 sacks, maybe 2 or 3 possible ones. The point I'm trying to make is Khalif Barnes was beat like a drum last night at practice. I don't know if that's, you know, concerning or not, but even Sean Payton said he looked good yesterday. So, again, I was mentioning the scales of justice, right? You weigh it. You weigh it. Is Alex Okafor having a solid practice? Or is there real concern at left tackle because Khalif Barnes just, like I said, there was one play. I looked, John Hendricks was in the booth. We were in Grass booth. Jordan, the intern's behind me. And I looked at the top, I'm like, oh, no. I mean, it was – I don't think Breeze had started to take a step back. It was Hutt and Okafor was around Barnes, and I'm like, oh, no. It was not good. Now, again, how do you weigh it as we view it? You know, 800-998-1003, if you were at practice yesterday and you saw it, he's number 57. You know, Ricky Jackson's old number. Did you see him? I mean, you couldn't miss him. He was the guy on the right end. And also the guy in the middle. He was showing some flexibility. You're going to hear from that here later on during the show. Head coach Sean Payton says, I get it. I think he calls it the NASCAR package. And imagine that, Joey, the NASCAR package. And it's Sheldon Rankins, it's Cam Jordan, it's Haolo Hikikaha, and it's Alex Okafor. And Okafor is playing the D tackle, essentially, where we've seen A'Shaun Mabry play, where we've seen David Onyemata play, and where we've seen Tyler Davidson play. But in this package, and it's, you know, it's a nickel version, so you can do heavy nickel with 3 safeties or whatever. But my point is, in this package that we've seen, you're seeing him on the line. And it looks good. I mean, in other words, they're getting pressure out there, and it makes sense. Put as many pass rushers up there as you sort of can to go there and get it. But he produced some pressure yesterday. Kikaha there as well. But again, I was just saying, you know, once or twice, you're like, hey, this is good. It's looking good, right? I mean, Okafor is showing you that speed, is showing you that pass rushing ability that the Saints hope that they had with him. And then after a few times, you're going, wow, okay, look, he needs a little resistance. And that's when I started going to Okalief. I mean, that was my take out of it, Okalief. Now, Okafor, again, good practice. So good, though, I almost started saying Okalief. Does that make sense? Now, Okafor did meet with media afterwards and talked about this is his mentality as an edge rusher.
Right. Well, that's why I came here. I knew there'd be an opportunity for me to come in and play right away. So that's one of the main reasons I came out here. So I'm doing all I can to be that guy opposite him.
Indeed. And look, again, with the Cardinals, he was injured. He talked about that way back when the team signed him, that his injuries really kept him from being the type of pass rusher that he was trying to be or knew he could be. And he was eager to have that fresh start.
You know, more than anything, it's just a great opportunity for me. I came from a place in Arizona where we already had two great edge rushers, and I kind of added towards that. So now I'm ready to come within my own and be that guy for this team.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting to sort of see how he's going to provide this pass rush for the Saints. Again, he's looked good, and whether it's Armstead, whether it's Ryan Ramczyk or Khalif Barnes, I think he's going to give left tackles, you know, a run for their money. He looks healthy. He looks fast. I don't know how else to really put it that way. Staying with Okafor here, he was asked, how do you think he's played recently?
I think I'm picking things up pretty well. I still got a lot to learn. I just got to, most importantly, get comfortable within the defense, and I think I'm making good strides doing that.
Indeed. And again, you keep seeing him, not only that edge pass rusher, but the ability to be able to move the inside as a D tackle, that shows me athletic ability for sure. It shows me strength, the chance to be able to go in there. He was asked about being able to be inside and being lined up just off the ball.
Well, I'm only inside on rushing situations. So, you know, I mean, I take what I do outside and just, you know, make it a little bit quicker inside. That's the only difference.
Yeah, and look, it just adds and gives you different flexibility. And you're seeing that now in all three different sections, if that makes any sense, on the Saints defense with Dennis Allen. You're seeing interchangeable parts on the line, other than Cam Jordan, who I'll get to in a second, because we've talked about MVP at camp, and I know Brian Nolese is probably listening going, come on, say it. All right, Brandon Coleman had a good practice yesterday. But if you're going to say he's the MVP on the offense, the MVP on defense, I tell you, you got to throw in that conversation. Cam Jordan looks ridiculous. Like, he looks... And I know Mike Triplett's probably going, because he was a guy that touted how good a season he had last year. Maybe didn't get the national attention it should have. But, and this is my opinion, if you've seen a Saints practice this year, right, the open practices, I'd love to get your opinion on it. 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. But doesn't Cam Jordan look like the best defensive player on the field? Gus, the Saints defense stinks. No, I get it. I do. But he's really looking like the best defensive player on the field for the Saints. And that D-line all of a sudden looks like a strength to me. As we said, look, Trey Hendrickson's missed a couple of practices with some injury. I don't know what it is. We just haven't seen him. Hasn't been out on the field here as well, and Sean Payton hadn't addressed it or touched on it. No one's asked him, even for him to get the next question. But we saw him rotating with Cam Jordan, so there's a little depth there. We're seeing that Okafor can be moved inside. He's always going to be at least on the line. Kikaha's gotten a lot of work here on the right side on the front. As I mentioned, Tyler Davidson, David Onyemata, they've been sort of interchangeable. You've seen a lot of 93 Onyemata early in training camp. As of late, you're seeing Tyler Davidson, 95, get a lot more work at tackle. Rankins never leaves the field. So it sort of looks like there's a little more talent, and it definitely looks like there's more depth to it. But Cam Jordan just stands out. Last night, several times, I want to say at least four or five, he knocked the ball down at the line of scrimmage when he was one-on-one with Drew Brees. Like he shedded the lineman. I mean, just discarded Streif. And he's chasing Drew. Open space. And got contained enough to, you know, he was waiting for Drew to decide what he's going to do with the ball. And when Drew throws it, he bats it down. I mean, he must have done that at least two or three times in a final team period when they were doing 2 minute. I saw him do it at least twice going towards the student section end zone when they were working on red zone passes. So I'm telling you, at least four or five times yesterday, out on the edge, in open space, by himself, either batted the ball, jumping up and tipping it, spiking it on the pass, or knocking it down. And Drew tried a bunch of different arm angles, because this isn't the first time he's done that yesterday. He's done it several practices at training camp. I'm going to challenge Nick Underhill. He finds stats, man, where a lot of people don't. I'm going to ask him for the next time we have on, does he have a stat of how many, you know, balls Cam Jordan has batted down at practice this training camp? I'm going to say
double digits for sure, and I would not be surprised if it's starting to inch towards 20. I kid you not. I would say at least one of practice. We've played 10. We've practiced 10 practices. Today's 11. I'm going to say at least one of practice. Or he's definitely averaging at least one of practice. So, again, it's something that stands out. But, you know, Okafor, it'll be interesting to see what he can do, but he's had some good practices. That is for sure. Now, I just, more than anything, though, I want to see how he's going to do come, you know, Thursday when he takes on the Browns. His hopes on it.
Just some live action. I'm ready to, I'm just excited to play within this defense, play with these guys in a live game situation, man. They're great competitors around me, and it'll be exciting playing alongside them.
Yeah, no doubt. I know I'm excited about it. Joey, I know you are. We're going to have a ridiculous bet to make on Thursday, some sort of wager, something funny and silly for your Browns and our New Orleans Saints to see who wins a meaningless preseason game. Not so meaningless, though, because I do think there's a lot of things we can look at it on Thursday.
We
Quick break.
It.
We come back. We'll continue our observations because we'll move over to the offensive side. There were some offensive plays that were interesting yesterday. I still think if I had to, I'd say yet again maybe the defense won the day. Maybe. I'm going to go with maybe the defense won the day from my standpoint. But two players yesterday stood out. Okafor, and I hadn't even got to Kenny Vaccaro. I'm going to get to him in a little bit. Sean Payton even mentioned him yesterday. Again, another player. Tip balls, hands on it, just good cover skills, PBUs. Kenny Vaccaro, I think, is at least if training camp's any indication, OTAs and minicamp, I think Kenny, oh, that's right, contract season. I think he's going to have a good year. But it's good to see that pass rush from the outside in Okafor. And again, I will say this. You heard Coach. They want to get into it. But I don't know if it's good that I'm telling you, Ryan Ramczyk, the rookie, he's better than Khalif Marks right now. 10 practices in, he's better. He needs to get healthy and get on the field. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report is sponsored by Bayou Oaks at City Park, home of the new Reese Jones Championship South Course. Book your tee times today at cityparkgolf.com and experience a memorable round of golf.
The Saints are in game week as Thursday night they will open the preseason schedule, taking on the Cleveland Browns at 7 o'clock. Fans no doubt are very eager to see the Black and Gold finally back on the field, and more critically, to see signs of hopefully an improving defense. One aspect we'll be paying attention to is pressure on the quarterback. Will this season finally be the year the Saints have a pass rush? Well, the Saints brought in Alex Okafor in free agency in hopes of adding to that pass rush. And also, there is hope that Howie Lohi Kakaha can recover from last season's injury and provide a rush himself. He's looked good so far in training camp.
Initially, shaking off some rust. At this point, a little bit better. So much time has passed since then, you'd hope that's the case. And, you know, there's still a lot more to improve on and a lot of details to clean up, but we're advancing.
Head coach Sean Payton also very happy with what he's seen so far.
Good. I think you're seeing him now obviously knock off a little bit of the rust, but he's feeling healthy, you know, he's getting the treatment, and, you know, you're starting to see some of his edge speed.
No practices for the Saints on Tuesday and travel, of course, on Wednesday before they kick it off Thursday night against the Browns. For more Black and Gold coverage, follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA, our Facebook page, and ESPN1003.com.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report has been brought to you by Bayou Oaks at City Park, now with two golf courses for everyone to enjoy, including the new Reese Jones Design South Course. Go to cityparkgolf.com and book your tee times today.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Moon rising on the Cuyahoga River.
There he is. I can picture it right now, over in LaRose, Joey D, looking to his left, out the window in the studio, looking at the bayou, probably missing the shores of Lake Erie. It is water. At least you are still seeing water, Joey. It's just not it's not Lake Erie, the shores of Cleveland there. Dude, it is Lake Erie, right?
Yeah, we count them all. I don't understand what you're doing. Okay, we didn't finish 1-15. We finished 4-16 with preseason.
You know what? I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Make a bold prediction.
What did y'all finish last year?
I think 2-14.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, if you count the preseason, oh, dude, we finished 6-.
You were 1-15.
Yeah.
You were 1-15.
Okay.
Bold prediction. Ready?
Ready.
Bold prediction. Which, by the way, we're going to do our bold prediction show. We always like to do that the Thursday of the season opener, right? Of, you know, the NFL season opener to kick off a couple of days before the Saints play on Monday Night Football. My bold prediction for you, Cleveland will win 5 games this year.
Count the preseason?
No, I think you're going to win 5 games this year. 5 games.
Oh, okay. That means I'm in line for
4
playoff
more
tickets.
Than last year.
I'm in line for playoff tickets.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I would not go that far.
Do you see 2 in a row anywhere in the future?
Oh, boy. Look.
It's happened
before.
Let's
see, you were 1-7 at home, 0-8 on the road. So let's say you win 2 on the road and 2 at home. That's 4.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you can't go 0-8 on the road again, right?
Yes.
I mean, you were the only team in the NFL that didn't win a... Never mind, the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
But other than them, every team at least got 1 win on the road. So, at least 1 win on the road.
Well, that's why we're trying to move to the American Conference in the NCAA. Can break
you, although I'll say this, the NFL did not do you any favors. You start with division opponents Pittsburgh at home, at the Ravens, at the Colts, and then the Bengals. 3 of your first 4 games were divisional opponents.
So when does it get easy? Do we play anybody from Canada?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just realized that's the first time I've ever looked at the Cleveland Browns schedule. I'm sorry, but... Right, I mean, you are in the same division with the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals.
Right, Steelers, Ravens, but we're trying to get them
out
of the
AFC North. Yeah. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland. You were 1-15 a year ago. Mm-hmm. What did you do to Comrade Goodell? I mean, who starts 3 of the 4 against the division?
We're trying to get him out of the way. We tried to convince Goodell. Let's get him out of the way early.
Wow. This is a 1-win schedule? Okay. I mean, that's fine.
I mean, look, if we win the coin flip, we're a step ahead. We're raising the bar this year.
My goodness. I might have to revise my bold prediction.
If you want to call it bold.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I want to call it bold. You're right. Okay, so I just heard one of the things that I find funny. You were talking about, do you see 2 in a row and all that. Do you know the Saints are on a bit of a losing streak, Joey? Saints a bit of a losing streak when it comes to the preseason. If they lose Thursday night to your beloved Browns, that'll be 10 straight preseason losses. Now, does it matter? Throw it out there to the poll. Why not? Does preseason matter to you? I mean, does preseason wins and losses matter to you? See, Sean Payton the last 2 years going into training camp has absolutely said fast starts and what have yous and preseasons – you want to establish a culture of winning. You want to win. You know, you're coaching to win. You're trying to win the plays. And I'm just going by, you know, Aaron Glenn from last week at practice, right, with the spike the ball thing, which was great, on Friday. He is trying to instill winning every single play, win, 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 win. I'm not saying that players go into a preseason game and, you know, half-heartedly play or don't give their max effort. Some probably try not to get hurt. But my point is, I do think it is important to try to win that game and try to win those games. Now, look, you know, Drew Brees says it all the time. 2006, he said he remembered talking to, I think, was it Sean or Mickey? Peyton and Loomis, and he said he didn't think they were going to win a game. Do you know how poorly you have to play in the preseason for you to think you weren't going to win a game out of 16?
We did last year.
I mean, I know. I believe you almost did it. You won one. But that's my point. Like, how? Like, I'm just trying to think of those meetings, the team bus ride, the flights back, where you're sitting there going, oh, my. I mean, again, in August. Keep that in mind. In August, and you're going, oh, we're not going to win a game. I mean, think of how disheartening that's got to feel. You know, you got September, October, November, December, practices in between, games in between, flights in between, and you think you may not win one. I mean, that shows a lot of resiliency by our fearless leader, Drew Brees, right? I mean, no, seriously. But I do think when you look at it, the preseason matters to me. I think it does matter to me. I think it matters, and that you have to try to instill, hey, you know, it is about winning. And to me, a culture of winning, it isn't something that you can flip on and off, if that makes any sense to you. Here's what I'm getting at. You want to create an atmosphere of expectation, positive expectation, okay? You can use NBA to an extent. You know, Spurs, you see that a lot. Golden State's kind of starting to do it where, the starters don't play. It's the same team, same level of intensity, same type of coaching. Popovich yelling at backups, Popovich yelling at, you know, Duncan and Parker and Ginobili from a couple years ago. I'd say New England, establishing a culture of winning, regardless, right? I didn't say they win every preseason game, but you do get the sense that it's a culture. We'll ask Marlon Favorite about that. You know that, you know, he bounced around a couple of teams trying to make the NFL, and you know, a couple of preseasons. You know, how is that attitude? There are some coaches that are like, let's just get through it, and I believe Sean Payton for a little bit of his career early on. Let's just get through it. Let's not get hurt. Yeah, we'll look at some guys or some competition levels. Here's the thing. You take a look at the Saints. Let's take a snapshot. We'll break this down on Thursday as we start getting into keys and things that we want to look into. But if I take a snapshot and look at the Saints, there is question marks in competition pretty much everywhere. When I mean question marks, that necessarily mean a negative question like, oh my God, who's going to play left tackle if no Armstead and no Ramchek and Cleve Barnes is the matador? I mean, that's a question. But I want to see, now, they're going to probably show you a lot, but I want to see, do they have new little wrinkles and plays out of the backfield with some of these running backs? Yeah, I don't want any of those to get hurt. But you know what? I'm kind of ready, especially seeing practice yesterday. Adrian Peterson, little dump pass to him. Just running over people into the end zone. I kind of want to see that in live action. I want to see some poor soul get trucked over, right? I want to see. Look, Mark Ingram's flashed some really good screen pass catching running ability. Let's see it against some other guys. I tell you what I'm really itching to see. For y'all, for the fans, Kamara. You guys got to see 41 run. Pass catching is amazing. It's pretty good. Yesterday, in some red zone drills, in a passing, Breeze drops back. It's a screen from the get-go. He got rush. Imagine that from the left tackle side. Okafor was pushing Barnes into his face. Drew couldn't see Kamara, who had gone to the left flat. That ought to tell you about the pressure. It was in his face as he's just turning left to dump a screen pass. So he kind of fired it quickly. And Alvin just extended his left hand and just caught it with one hand. And, I mean, it was a BB. I mean, Drew didn't loft it. It was no arc. And he just caught it and took off running. And everyone in the booth was like, oh, my. I mean, that he can catch the football. And I think he's going to wow you, Saints fans. But wait till you see him run. I think it'll be interesting to see that. Again, receiver. Receiver, I did not forget about him. Brian Enola East texted me during practice. How's the MVP looking? Look, he had a good practice yesterday, especially across the middle, showing his size. That's what he's supposed to look like at 6'6". And more than anything, I'm starting to see him separate from those defensive backs once he catches the ball. But again, It's never been about perhaps the potential of Brandon Coleman. Can it translate in a game? So, yeah, it's a question. And, again, it's a good question. I want to see 16 catch over the middle and you know, stiff arm some guys. I want to see the same passion that had him tackling the Jean Butler from the defense because he was trying to, you know, spike the ball after an incompletion to him. I want to see that same passion that he's shown during camp in a game. I want to see it. I do. I don't expect to see a lot of Michael Thomas, if at all, on Thursday, and there's no need to. But, again, sticking with receiver. I tell you, a guy that I keep, I was looking at some people yesterday watching practice. I said, you know, is it just me, or is Trayvon Darrell continuing to play well by the practice? By the practice. Now, yesterday, when you don't have Ted Ginn and you don't have Willie Snead, Trayvon Darrell got some work with the ones. Drew Brees going to throw an accurate ball. He caught it. Trayvon Darrell's not dropping balls right now. Early in camp, I was like, hey, look, it's going to be good to see him in practice squad next year, see how he can develop as a pass catcher and do better. But I'm telling you, he's been impressive. He's been impressive. He's got the size, and it's been impressive to see him. I think I see him get better by the practice. I really do. Maybe next time we get Curtis Johnson made available to us, I'll ask him about what he thinks. About his improvement, because it does. To me, eyeball test, he's looked noticeably better since the start of training camp. And he's improving. And again, that's somebody, you stash him, Joey, not that the Saints have ever done this, but the old Trayvon was injured in the third preseason game, IR. Saints may have had a history or so, allegedly, of placing players on IR to stash them. Because it might get taken away on practice squad, so they can have them next year, Joey. I'm saying that happens. But if you get injured and placed on IR, we'll see you back next year. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can have you. But seriously, so that's just on the offensive end, on the receivers and on the line. Yeah, I would love to see Ryan Ramczyk in a game. I think Sean Payton wants to see Ryan Ramczyk in a game. Here's the problem. If he is nicked up and injured again today at practice, it's late afternoon, early evening, so we won't know because we can't even tweet it out or tell you about it until after practice ends. It'll be around dinner time or so. If he doesn't practice today, you wonder if he plays on Thursday. You know, now, again, I don't know what it is. It could have been cramps, could have been heat, it could have been, you know, an injury. But I would like to see him at some point. Obviously, no doubt, this team wants to see him. They need to get him live game reps, especially if he's going to start at Minnesota on the road, you know, Monday Night Football such. But again, there's just so many things I want to see that, to me, the preseason is important. And I even got into the defensive side of the ball. Lots of youth, lots of young guys over there. I want to see it. So, yeah, seasons past, I'll be honest, especially, you know, in 09, 10, 11, just get the week one. You know, it's like, you're all excited, Joey. Preseason game number one, awesome. Three drives in, you're yawning, and you're ready for game one of the regular season. I'm actually interested in this year's preseason because of the amount of questions and because of the amount of young players that need to play well for the Saints to have any hopes of being a playoff team again. Quick break. We come back. We'll go around the NFL. Some very interesting storylines that have to do with some big players being injured, suspensions. A couple of LSU Tigers are in trouble. We'll touch on all of that and more next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, this is Charles Hanegraaff. Join me and Jimmy Ott for Sports Today. 11 a.m. weekdays, we give you in-depth coverage on LSU, the Saints, the Pelicans, and more. We're live, and if it's local and important to you, you'll hear it on Sports Today. 11 a.m. weekdays on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime in if you'd like to. I'll do some fantasy football this week. Over the next 2 days, got some national ESPN guests that will be joining us. So I know fantasy football is around the corner. You do that, don't you, Joey? You do a little fantasy football.
Dude, I follow the Cleveland Browns. That's total fantasy.
All right, okay.
No, I do.
Okay, just making sure that you do that.
I sit down with my numbers.
Also want to make sure that, of course, if that AC goes, that's the sound, by the way, that your air conditioner makes the second it stops working. And this just in, the rains of the weekend, boy, was that bad in certain parts of the city. They're gonna be around all week, not those rains, but 40% most of the week. But, man, you saw the 90s, 92, 93. It's just hot, and the heat indexes and all of that. Point is, AC stops working. It's River City's Total Maintenance. They will help you keep cool. 841-3300. You should know this number by now. 841-3300 is the way to get them to come on over. NOLAAC.com is a way you can check out Lucas and the boys as well. They're fair and honest AC experts since 1980 in South Louisiana. And here's the best part about it. When you call, they're on their way. So they'll come when you need them type service. 841-3300. And again, even if it's working, maybe it's not working right, or you need some cooling, you need some Freon. 841-3300. Maybe it's not cooling the way you thought it was. Maybe you need a new one. They've installed my parents' one. I'm trying to hold out one more summer, but $3,300. River City Total Maintenance is there for you, and I mean it. Weekday, weekend, overnight, holiday, doesn't matter. That number, when you call it, you can talk to a real person too, right? So I could be like a voicemail. You call 841-3300. Whenever that is, somebody's going to be there for you to do that. All right, so around the NFL, a couple of storylines, Joey. Not good if you're an LSU fan for a couple of LSU players. For starters, Jarvis Landry of the Dolphins, the report coming out today that he's under investigation for possible battery. The latest update, now that was the story this morning, and it's stemming from charges from an incident with his girlfriend that took place earlier this year. The Fort Lauderdale Police Department had presented its investigation to the state Broward State Attorney's Office. It's reviewing the incident. Now, apparently the Dolphins are aware of it. He informed the team of what it is. Now, Landry's girlfriend, here's the latest update. Estrella Cerquia released a statement today via a publicist to the NFL Network saying that she had a vocal disagreement with Landry this past March. Police were called, although she did not call them. She also said in a statement there were no criminal charges and that she was not in any way physically harmed. She said, yes, we are going through a civil family court case and emotions are high, but I would like to make it very clear that Jarvis would never, ever do anything to harm me or anyone else. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen in a case that was something like this, where you had, I guess the woman involved or the person involved come out and release a statement and kind of clear them out. Now, look, you've had instances where you had the Kraken, right? Your boy from Carolina went on to Dallas, threw her on a couch and had like guns and all kind of other stuff. And then she went on a shopping spree and they couldn't find her to testify, but they saw on her Facebook page she was in Vegas and buying all kind of different expensive gear and stuff. But
she's undercover.
This morning it was just, the story was being investigated for domestic battery. They have a kid together, and I'm assuming that's what the civil dispute about that could be going on there. So, but apparently Landry and the Dolphins have also been discussing a contract extension this offseason, but could not be reached for a deal here as well. Landry did, as I said, go to LSU, had a second consecutive 1,000-yard receiving season last year. He's due to make just $893,000, final year of his rookie deal. It's Dolphins' best receiver, if you ask me, do that. Now, the other LSU player in the news that's not going to go well for him is Jalen Collins. And last year, Joey, I don't know if you know him, he suspended PEDs. Mm. This year, PEDs. 10-game suspension announced over the weekend. And head coach Dan Quinn said the team has yet to decide whether Collins will even remain on the roster. It's not very smart. If you're already in trouble with PEDs, you probably shouldn't do them again. You know what I'm saying? Unless, like, the PED fairies, Joey, get you in the middle of the night, you know, the PED gnomes. Unbeknownst to you, while you're sleeping and you're snoring and your mouth is open, you know, they come on in and drop PEDs in your mouth and you ingest them. It's a choice, you know? It's the same thing with drugs. It's a choice. And if you've been suspended and you have a choice, anyway. He was a second-round pick, folks, out of LSU. Back in 2015, he was suspended for the first four games last season. His initial violation of the league's policy on PEDs. There you go. Hour number two on its way. Marlon Fayright, Jordy Intern with his rookie report. And also we'll hear more from head coach Sean Payton and Craig Robertson. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Total maintenance keeps you cool. Maintenance keeps you cool. Maintenance keeps you cool.